When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, normally on these podcasts on a Sunday, we talk about a match, and quite predictably, it would be a defeat. But yesterday's match against Port Vale was a unique day in the history of Reading Football Club. Match abandoned by fans invading the pitch. And I've got to say, it was a fantastic sight. And everybody who did it, well done to you, because it's the message that we needed to get across. But to help us talk through the events of yesterday, I've been joined by Alex Everson.
Bit weird not to be talking about a defeat on a Sunday, actually. So I guess it's nice in that regard, I think. Yeah, yesterday was really weird, wasn't it? It's just so different to what you would ever want or usually see at football. So it's a completely just different and unique day to what we've ever kind of experienced before at Reading.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. And hopefully we don't see it again. I'm not going to roll out anything with the way this is going with the unmentionable person that owns the club, the biggest wanker ever at Reading Football Club. But also to join us today to talk through these amazing events yesterday is Matt Lansley. How are you doing?
All good. Yeah, amazing, unique. I think, yeah, it's not a day I don't think many people will forget that we're there. You know, it's one of those days I think that a lot of Reading fans will remember where they were when. Ultimately, though, it's not something that anyone really wanted to do, is it? Because it shows kind of what dire straits we're in as a club. No one wanted to do that yesterday, but it's the situation that's in front of us.
Yeah, definitely. None of us start the season and think, oh, we want to get a match abandoned. That would be completely insane. But this is where we are. And the amount of coverage that it's got afterwards makes you only think one thing, that it was completely justified. We're waiting to see what happens with the EFL, and you know, I'm sure that we'll suffer some kind of punishment. I won't be surprised by that at all, but you've got to think it was the right thing to do, Alex, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of kind of concern from elements of the fan base around whether we're going to get fined or points deductions and what that could mean for the rest of the season. There isn't really a precedent for any of this, though, because ultimately fans don't invade the pitch and get games abandoned very often. It just doesn't happen. So it's difficult really to say. No one knows what's going to happen in terms of punishment. But I think for those who chose to protest yesterday and basically put their point across like that, the point is that what's 3 points at the end of the day if we're not here in 6 months? What does it matter? And that's kind of the route that we're going down at the minute. It's one individual game and one individual afternoon might get ruined. But if you don't take some kind of action at this point, then in 6 months' time, there's no action to be taken anywhere because you just won't have any football to watch. So, my guess is that we probably will get punished from the EFL at some point. I personally would hope, and I kind of feel like we'll probably get a fine from the EFL, maybe the AFA. I don't quite know which way that goes, but and maybe like a suspended points deduction or something along those lines. We'll see. I know that's what Blackpool had when they invaded against, I want to say it was Leighton Orient, potentially. No, Huddersfield. On their last day of the season a few years ago. But we'll see, I guess, what happens with punishments and things over the next couple of weeks. And whether, you know, whether games get played behind closed doors or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, all of that's a possibility, isn't it? I'm going to read out some of the messages that you've sent in to us about yesterday. So there's one here from David Lee. He says, new to club, kids born in Reading, and we've made the club our own for the past two seasons. My son was in tears at the thought Reading FC may cease to exist. That's the human side, along with every fan story. Just wish this idiot owner and Pang could emphasize. And also one here from Kev Townsend saying, I have to say, originally I was not for the protest, but I witnessed it. But what I witnessed at the ground yesterday, well, today, by me, humbled me to see so many fans looking to genuinely save their club was an eye-opener. And it was. It was for a lot of people, I'm sure. Not everyone was for the protest. And I totally get that. Going on the pitch, they understand that they want people to protest against Dai Young. But I don't know how many people is on there. 1,000, 1,500 maybe, Matt? What would you say, kind of roughly numbers?
Yeah, you know, we've seen a lot of numbers battered around. I think easily 1,500, I'd say, you know, that were actually on the pitch, potentially, you know, 2,000. It's... yeah, it's hard to sum up, really, though, isn't it? Because it's such a dire situation. Like I kind of said at the start, nobody wants to do that, and we're in such a helpless position. I don't think many people really know what the right way to do things is anymore, because it's, you've got an owner that doesn't want to seemingly listen to anything, talk to anyone, do anything, sell the club. How do you get through to him? You can't just sit there, because then that just lets whatever's going to unfold, you know, the unthinkable could then happen in the club then going under. You can't just, well, you know, it'd be silly to just sit and do nothing. But, you know, to see 1,500, 2,000 fans on the pitch yesterday, you know, I don't know how many I was expecting at all. I don't know if I was really actually even kind of expecting it during the game. I guess it was inevitable at some point. But to see so many on the pitch was quite a eye-opening, slightly heartwarming, you know, feeling, like seeing so many fans wanting to fight, you know, against the owner. And the people in the stands likewise as well, you know, because everyone was supportive, I think, at the beginning, you know. And it was just heartwarming just to see, you know, the unity in that moment as well.
Yeah, I think it was. I think definitely watching it. I mean, I don't think it's going to break any exclusive embargoes or anything to say that, you know, Reading are so badly in the shit. It's just incredible to see so many people actually caring about the club. And despite in all these bad times with Dai Young, it's one of the things that has given me some heart is the fact that there's so many people that actually do give a shit. And they actually do care about keeping their team, and they are proud of it, and they're proud and prepared to put in so much effort and sacrifice things to actually try and ensure that the club will survive in some form. We don't know what that will be. But yeah, yesterday was a real mixture of emotions, really, wasn't it? Just being there and on the pitch, Alex. It's a kind of, I'm glad you've done it, but also sad that we've had to reach that point, but also there's no resolution coming soon. It's a real mix, isn't it?
Yeah. It's something I was speaking to somebody last night about, like, you know, what did it feel like being at the game today? Because obviously, you know, they weren't at the game, and they were asking kind of what it's like being at a game when it gets abandoned. And it was really difficult to sum up to them. What it was like, and it's kind of a mixture of, you know, pride that you're trying to do something and you want to be on the, you know, you want to be able to look back in whatever, a year, 2 years, and say, oh yeah, I actually did something, and tried to change things. It's sadness that it's ever got to this point to begin with, and it's despair that you happen to go to this kind of extreme. And then I guess it's kind of the community feel aspect of being around people who want that, you know, want that change and want the same want the same thing as you, want the club to move on and move forwards. And it's a real like mixture of emotion. It's not one of like, I mean, the sell before die statement kind of put it right. Like, it's not one to be celebrated. No one's happy. No one wants the game to be abandoned. No one's sitting there, you know, at the start of the season, as you said earlier, Paul, going, oh, this year I'm going to get a game abandoned, because that's not the aim of people. That's not, people want to go and watch the football. That's why they're there. That's why they have season together. That's why they follow Reading, because they want to go and watch the football. They want to see us win. No one's aim is to go to the games and get games, get called off, because that's completely against the point of being a fan in the first place. But I guess when the situation becomes to the point where it has, people have got their line in the sand, and that's like, you know, yeah, the line might be different for different people, but yesterday's shows that the line was there for however many thousands of people who were on the pitch at some point yesterday, has been crossed by Dai Yong Pang and Dai Yong at this point. So it's not something to be kind of like, you know, pleased with or happy with necessarily, but it's one to, I guess, you just kind of have to recognize there's a lot of feelings and different emotions to it.
Yeah, I think that was no more reflected by the reaction from the crowd, which, you know, was very supportive. And also, there was also people who didn't like it as well. You know, there was some booing. There was some kind of like get off the pitch as well. But I respect everyone who does these different things. But I do think that, you know, all of us have said here that it's one match. And ultimately, do we want to have another team in another 10 years' time? Yeah, we do. If you said to me we had to sacrifice this or another match, I don't know. I'm going to say,
even the entire season, right? Like, yeah. Ultimately, yeah, if we get relegated because we've had points deductions this season, but Dai Yong isn't the owner in 6 months' time, like, which one are you taking there? Because if Dai Yong is the owner in 6 months' time, but we've stayed up, what's the difference? We haven't moved on as a club at all. We're still in the same kind of limbo that we're in, right? There has to be some kind of change. And if it means, you know, administration, and it means getting relegated, then that's what it means. Like, there has to be change at the top. It can't just be a case of like blundering on until, you know, until we just get relegated anyway, and end up potentially in with no club at all. Like, there has to be some kind of movement.
Yeah, someone on the protest yesterday who's definitely been, I think, magnificent throughout all of it is Ruben Sellers. I think the way that he's conducted himself in the interviews post-match yesterday on Radio Berkshire was absolutely brilliant. And I know people can say whatever they want about him as a manager, that's fine. But I think as a person, he's come across incredibly well. And there's a tweet here from Jacob Potter saying, what might have gone unnoticed amongst the protest today was Sellers sticking around to watch the crowd from before heading down the tunnel. Despite the tactical problems he had early doors, grown to like the bloke, he gets it. I can only say fair play for staying. I totally agree on that, Alex and Matt. I mean, you've got to say he's what an incredibly tough job he's had, Matt. I mean, it's insanely hard, his job is. I mean, can you say it's the impossible job? I think it virtually is that, isn't it now?
Oh, you could put so many adjectives to it, right? You know, I think it's not been any secret that, you know, I don't think many certainly with the way that the season has pulled out and kind of got to this stage, a lot of people probably would have moved on from Sellers quite a long time ago. Situation has dictated otherwise. But the one thing that, as we say, Sellers had to deal with that no other manager really has had to deal with in Reading FC history, and probably very few managers have had to deal with in footballing history, is just the catalogue of things that are now hindering the team. And it's one after another, after another, after another, after another. And yet he still stayed. He still stayed loyal to his players. He wants to stand by them, do the best for them, do the best by the club. He gets that football's a results business, and he gets that fans, you know, aren't going to be happy like they weren't earlier in the season. He gets that. He admitted to that yesterday, you know, with scenes after, you know, such as like, you know, the Fleetwood game and Leighton Orient, etc., that he mentioned. But he's still there, and he's still trying to do best by the club, you know. And I think it was interesting in the first minute yesterday, obviously, as the game kicked off after the rallying cry by the stadium announcer, you know, Sellers' Barmy Army rang out. You know, I think even if people had made up their minds about Sellers, whether they want him to stay, want him to go, you know, etc., I think so many fans could actually come together on is actually how much, I guess, you know, Sellers is actually trying to do best by the club at this point. You know, he might not be everyone's first choice. He might not be everyone's, you know, ideal appointment and kind of manager at the moment, but I think he's certainly kind of turned a corner with fans and unity on that side, because I think everyone just wants him to do the best, because they can see kind of what he's trying to battle with at this point.
Yeah, what he's trying to battle with is almost impossible. It is quite incredible. I mean, there's another one here from Ji Min Lee saying, "This is Reading Football Club. We fight until the end." And at this kind of summit, and that is what we have to do. But let's go back to that first minute of that match. And you could tell the atmosphere was different. It was definitely different, Alex. It's so easy to sit here and say, oh, we all knew it was going to happen in the 16th minute. There's going to be a massive pitch invasion and 1,000 people run on. None of us knew that for certain. But it was tennis balls on the pitch straight away, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, even before kickoff, right, the stadium announcer yesterday, as the teams were lining up for kickoff, was a different announcement. Let's put it that way, right, Paul? It wasn't your standard kind of back the boys and make some noise. It was very much like a, you know, the team has been treated like, I can't remember the exact wording of it, but it was basically like the team has been treated like crap. You know, you've been treated like crap. Don't put up with it. Back the team. Which is the first time you've ever really kind of seen that before. And it was weird because I've never really heard like people respond to the stadium announcer quite as loudly as that.
There was quite a silence as well. As
he was reading it, yeah.
It was actually definitely quite interesting as well.
Yeah, it definitely felt like people were listening to it yesterday. Even before kickoff, there was Dae Yong out chants before kickoff. Every time the stadium announcer came over, there's a safety announcement, like, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before kickoff. It got completely drowned out by people booing and chanting against Dae Yong. You could tell that yesterday there was more of an element of, like, fuck this, I'm done with it, before kickoff, than there has been any other game this season. We've seen, obviously, the tennis ball protests happen this season. We've had the march and you know, the secondary tennis ball protest as well, which happened, but there hasn't been that, I guess, underlying kind of I don't care, fuck this, before kickoff, which that was the first time I think we've really seen it from like a large proportion of people. And then obviously kickoff happens, and what, 10 seconds into the game, and there's, I don't know, 200 tennis balls come onto the field straight away, soon as kickoff happens. And I think as soon as that happened,
That was really quite amusing, I thought. Just straight away.
As soon as that happened, you knew the game wasn't going to finish. As soon as that happened, right, man? Yeah. Because it's like, you could tell, as soon as that happened, it was like, yeah, the fans aren't going to let this one finish. There's no way it's going to get to 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was evident right from the start. You know, and I think that was kind of the amusing thing. And then it actually made for a bit of a strange atmosphere, I thought, because, like, even though obviously, well, there was chance for Nelson Abbey, chance for Tom Holmes, you know, understandably, but virtually all the chants were directed at the owner. There was actually very few Reading FC chants in that 16 minutes of play that we actually got.
The weird thing, I think, was that as soon as that tennis ball kind of like flurry had started in the first minute or so, I think it took like 3 or 4 minutes to clear it up. As soon as that happened, and it almost felt like people were just waiting for 16 minutes because you knew that something was going to happen. Like we
said, go down, and
we said it where we were standing. That as soon as we said it, as soon as the tennis balls went on in the first minute, we were like, "Well, if anything happens at 16 minutes, that's a trigger, and people are going to end up on the field at 16 minutes." Now you could tell straight away that was going to happen.
I think big props has to be given to the Port Vale goalkeeper though, who I think did actually chuck one tennis ball back into Club 1871, which was very amusing. So top job to Mr. Port Vale keeper. I can't remember your name, but.
And to the Port Vale fans, who I thought were great yesterday. Yeah, there were some that were getting annoyed, and I get that. It's a long journey for them, and they've paid money. And I get that totally. But unfortunately, it's one day in their life, and for us, we want to keep having far more match days, and this is what matters for us.
It's one afternoon for them versus 7 years for us, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Jamie Butler, for that one now in the post-match there. it was good to see that from Port Vale. They gave huge support, and I did deserve a lot of credit because some fans just wouldn't have been like that at all. And on social media before, they backed it. And I'm sure there's some people that hate it and hate Reading Football Club now, because let's not pretend social media is everything, because it isn't. But overall, I just felt it was... it's good to see so much support from other clubs, though, isn't it? And not just in this league. I'm not going to count like Premier League clubs because they're in their own world of strangeness. But yeah,
the support you've actually got, even for, I mean, I know you say not from Premier League clubs, but the Premier League clubs who've been through this kind of thing, Brighton and Luton are the obvious ones, right? Yeah. The outpouring from those clubs, and especially clubs who've, you know, had shit owners before. Port Vale, you know, as we've mentioned, are a prime example, but there's so many of them out there. And yesterday evening, like online, was just incredible how many fans were just like, "Oh yeah, we stand with you." It's like, it's, we get it, it's you have to do what you have to do sort of thing. There's very few fans or fan groups out there saying like, "This is the wrong thing, you shouldn't have done it." Everyone just seems to kind of get it, which I find a bit like strange, because obviously there hasn't, it doesn't feel like there's been, I mean, there has been coverage obviously, and I'm sure lots of people do know about it, but it doesn't feel like it's ever reached this level before. And I don't think it has reached this level really. So I always find it a bit odd that all of a sudden people know what's happened and understand it and get it. And they, you know, they want to offer their support.
I think little old Reading. Tin pot Reading.
Yeah, obviously we're never in the news. We're irrelevant. Nobody cares. Basically, I think before I was having a pop at Man United fans, basically, who are in their own fucking world. They really are. It's like, "Oh, Glazer, poor them. I've only spent £1 billion on players. My tears run down my cheeks so much." But yes, it is a different world. So here's some more things that we were sent in by Andrew Butcher. It had to happen. "Much wider media attention after the game. Have to keep the pressure. We have to keep going. Don't care about going into League Two. I'd happily take it over being liquidated. Sadly, latter option looking more and more likely outcome." Let's hope not, Andrew. But, you know, to sit here and say it's not going to happen, I think would be extremely naive of me. Chris also says, "Just sad that it's come to this, but proud of every Reading fan who turned up today to get the game abandoned. We can't do anything else. Also, huge props to Sellers. He's not my choice as manager, but handled himself as a gent." Another one here from Keith Satterley saying, "Wholeheartedly support the protest today, but again, the EFL are as much as for as a waste of breath owner. After all, they allowed him in. Any punishment applied by them must be towards the owner. The only option left now is to remove him altogether before it's too late. That's brutal, and I assume you mean just as an owner, not in any actual human." But Michael Hunter Dye has no interest in selling the club and is more interested in stripping its assets for a profit. Dye doesn't care about any protests and will continue to push the club to bankruptcy. The only option is for the EFL to do everything in its power to get RFC out of this tyrant's grip." I mean, it's sad to see so many people just so, and quite rightly so, and I completely understand this, just feeling absolutely grim about everything, isn't it? And when you reach the point, we've kind of got immune to this, Alex and Matt, that we're talking about the club being liquidated, and you don't sit here and think this is ridiculous, do we?
Well, you don't sit here and think that, you know, administration's a good outcome. Or, sorry, you don't like feel bad or kind of like think that, Christ, like how have we got to a place where administration's a good outcome and relegation to League Two, or, you know, near certain relegation to League Two? It's utter madness. Utter madness, you know, and it's, yeah, you look at it time and time again, but you do just think how on earth you've got to this situation and this far.
Yeah, this is why we had the banishment yesterday, isn't it? Because it is so, so bad. And there's Dai Young, as bad as he's been, which he totally has been, he's an absolute parasite. The EFL have to take the responsibility of at this point. You cannot continue to have this with clubs, and we're not the only one, and there will be another one that's coming, that they just take away any kind of responsibility. It's like, well, these are the rules and we're going to stick by them, but you might actually die and lose a community asset that you've had for 150 years, but we're going to stick by these rules. I mean, what fucking madness is that? It's utter madness.
It'd be really good to just see the EFL just try and take some accountability and just say, no, we get it. You know, it might not be the current administration and, you know, the current kind of people at the top of the EFL that were kind of heading it back in 2017 that, you know, let die through the fit and proper test. I know it's, you know, tighter now than it is back then, but you've got to take some accountability for the previous failings, you know. And of course, you know, Reading have had failings there as well, you know, right? Like, Reading aren't kind of, you know, completely innocent in it, you know, I guess you could say. You know, it'd be kind of, I guess, wrong to try and say that. And I think most Reading fans get that. But, you know, the EFL, they've come out and said how much they don't like Dai Young in the past, you know, and how much they want him out, and even gone to the point of saying that, you know, that our recommended punishment is banning this guy from football ownership. You know, yes, that would then cause problems in forcing Reading into administration. You'd have some fans querying that and kind of saying, well, you've just relegated us, you know, purposefully. But the EFL have got to come out and actually just try and take some accountability and just say that we've made mistakes in the past. We get it. You know, we want to try and do the best by the club and just be open on that side rather than just, you know, this ear of silence kind of that just constantly comes out of them. It's a bit like Reading FC, really, isn't it? You know, just completely avoiding the point, you know. And yeah, that's what I'd like to see from them. Just some sort of acceptance of, you know, their role in this. Because so far they've taken nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. To sit here and say that Redden haven't created or Dai Young, and he is representing the club, take no responsibility for the punishments that we faced over the last 4 years or whatever it is now, it would be stupid, because clearly we did massively break FFP. But there should be a tipping point when the EFL have to say, look, come on, this bloke is an absent owner. You know, he actually doesn't give a shit anymore. This is not a situation of them being reckless with money. There actually isn't any. But I want to also pick up on the coverage point. And there's a tweet here from David Leary saying, absolutely pathetic coverage of Reading FC situation on tonight's EFL highlight show on ITV. Where's the proper journalism when it's really needed? And what was a momentous day for all connected with the club? Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, I didn't watch the ITV one because it's terrible, but I understand what you're saying, David. Where was Sky yesterday? And as Jeff Stelling pointed out, how did you manage to miss this story? I mean, such a monumental moment.
It's not like people didn't know it was going to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it wasn't a secret.
We all knew. The local media knew in Reading. It wasn't a secret. It was very obvious that it was going to be a protest, and yet Sky didn't even bother to send a reporter to the game. Like, bizarre, especially when there's no Premier League games going on. It's like, where were they? What were you doing yesterday during the game? You could have literally sat there for the entirety of the hour and had someone reporting back every 10 minutes because, you know, there's 10 less games going on than there normally is because there's no Premier League yesterday. And yet they haven't sent a reporter. It's really strange. Really, really strange coverage from Sky, I think. Obviously, now they're picking it up because the game's been abandoned and it's on Sky Sports News, etc. But, like, to not have anybody there at the time is just so, so odd. And, yeah, as you say, the ITV highlights package not showing any of the the protest is, let's be honest, kind of unsurprising because the ITV highlights package is a bit shit.
That's been kind on it. It's dreadful, ITV. I don't know why I watch it every week because, I don't know. But, yeah, ITV are shocking on that front. Like, it took Sky so long anyway to actually report it properly as well because, I mean, pretty much for the entirety of the protest until it was abandoned, they were saying the game had been stopped for tennis balls, I think. And it's like, come on, guys. Open your eyes. Have a look on social media. It's just dreadful, you know. And like you say, it's good that it's being picked up now, but... Yeah, I think Jeff Stelling's tweet yesterday just summed it up perfectly, really. Mm. If you've not seen it, go and have a look at it. It was kind of just the perfect response, I think, from someone who does get it, you know, having been through similar with Hartlepool.
Yeah, totally about things not being picked up or cleared up. Andy McLaughlin asked us in the questions, I've not seen Port Vale's disallowed goal back. Yeah, but it looked tight. Hope you clear that up. Well, we may have missed that one today, Andy. And I think you know that might not be the big topic for the day.
Well, what about the penalty claims as well? We could have had a penalty. Harvey Nibbs got tripped up in the box and somehow, like, to be fair, I think the ref and linesman were just, whether or not they were penalties, well, I think the Harvey Nibbs one was a penalty. Their one might have been a goal. I think the refs were just like, no, we know the game's not going to continue. We'll just let it go, you know.
Just
let them hash out in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, it would have been good if I'd rushed goalie. That'd have been quite nice. But feels like monumentous day yesterday, Alex. I mean, I guess we're going to have to see how this pans out over the next few months, aren't we? Because I'm not expecting a sudden announcement that Dai Young has sold the club and this brilliant new owner's come in. But I 100% back what happened yesterday. I don't think any of us can say anything else about that, really.
No, I'm not expecting him to, or I say him, he's never going to say anything, is he? Let's be honest. Even when the club gets sold, he's not going to be the one who announces it's been sold. So I'm not expecting the club to announce that they've been sold anytime soon, really. Frankly, we're no closer to being taken over than any random club that you could pull out of a hat in the UK at the moment, which is highly depressing. Given the state that we're in, you know, I think you could pick out any random team and they would be just as close to being taken over as we are currently, because we're no further along really than we were in September. And I think the next couple of months it's really difficult, obviously, to be able to try and predict what's going to happen. Do I want to see fans abandon the match every week? Personally, probably not. It's a difficult one because obviously there's going to be loads of people with different feelings out there. Some people will be frustrated that one match has been abandoned. Some will say we should be doing it every week until he's gone. But it's difficult to really, there's no right or wrong way to go about it. And realistically, there's no right or wrong way to feel about it either. So it's difficult to predict what's going to happen over the next couple of months. I think fans will presumably get more hostile, more like militant towards Dai Young as well and the EFL. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next, maybe, I don't think it will next be, maybe need be in the next few weeks, but possibly in the next month or so, it wouldn't surprise me if there was like an organised protest at the EFL in London or at Dai Young's house in London or at the casino in London or something like that. I can see that bit happening. Obviously, there's that kind of thing takes a bit of planning if you want numbers and you want success to do it. But I can definitely see that kind of thing happening just to try and drag things away from a match day as well, more than anything, because ultimately, where do you go from here? On a match day, like once the match has been abandoned and there is no match, what's the next stage on a match day? There isn't one. There is like, that's it. Like the only other thing you can ever do then is like not even let the match kick off, but there's no more kind of levels to go down. We've started off with like, you know, a sit-in after the game. Then you've gone to disrupting during a game. Now it's the match abandoned. It's like the levels have kept rising, but there isn't anywhere else to go on a match day. So it's like, I feel like the only kind of next logical step is going to be stuff outside of a match day. That's kind of where it's leading, I think.
Dig up the pitch. That's the next level, isn't it? Just get rid of the pitch.
Get some shovels and spades and take them all in, right? I think for me, the biggest thing that's come out yesterday, though, I think is just the coverage. You know, like, I mean, like Alex says, it's almost pointless. Or, well, I've even said to friends that I go to football with and discuss it, it's pointless discussing and kind of thinking what Dai Young's going to do next, because he's proven himself to be the most idiotic, stupid, illogical, fucking moronic cunt in this world. Like, I can't even fathom trying to think what he's going to do next. It's pointless. You know, he might go and sell tomorrow. He might go and sell in a month. He might go and sell in three months, 6 months. Never. Who knows? It's pointless. The biggest thing for yesterday is media coverage. Everyone is talking about Reading FC. Everyone is talking about the situation. Dai Young. There was also something that cropped up yesterday by a reporter. It was a very long thread, basically around what Dai Young's going through in China. Everyone's looking into this guy now because he's an absolute criminal. He has no space walking the streets.
That's not to put it. That's not even to put it lightly. Like the guy is literally a criminal. The stuff that came out last night from I want to say his name's Mike Gao. Basically, what's happened to Dai Young in the last week or so is that he's had judgments go against him, and that he essentially is being sued by Chinese state banks at the minute for around about £800 million. So Reading is kind of the least
space. He's a waste of space on this earth.
Reading is kind of the least of his concerns. Like, that's unfortunately the scenario we've got to at the minute, because if you're being sued for £800 million, I imagine that's probably going to take up quite a lot of your headspace, realistically. But the thing is, he's being sued for £800 million because of the fact that the companies that he's been selling on with like attached loans and stuff. It's quite technical. Like, I'm sure you'll be able to find some information about it online if you go away and search it. I will retweet it or something, I'm sure. But it's just a bit, like, I don't want to say depressing, but it's just sad that it's got to a point where we're literally owned by, you know, a fraudster now. And it's not like, 6 months ago, we all didn't like Dai Young.
Alex, I have to say.
No, so it's not even the first one. But it's like, but this guy's going to be, it's going to be a convicted fraudster for hundreds of millions of pounds. And yet somehow he's an owner in the Football League. Like, it just puts so much shame on the whole of English football when you've got someone, an owner who is a criminal to this level. It's like, you have to, the EFL kind of have to take a look at themselves and say, like, there has to be some kind of, like, you know, element going forwards. I mean, it's probably not the EFL, it's going to be the regulator, I guess, but there has to be an element of, like, if there's this happening around the world, we have to be able to do something to take the club off of them. Like, it can't just like blunder on. It just can't. Like, there's just such a bad way for football to kind of position itself, is just leaving it in the hands of whoever owns the club all the time. Because you don't know who owns the club. Like, yeah, you know who Dai Young is. We know he's Chinese. I mean, know he's from Hong Kong, etc. But you don't know what's going on outside in his other businesses. The EFL don't know. Yeah, and they can say that they do all their owners and directors tests, but things change, and, you know, he's like, if you end up with, you know, a convicted fraudster as an owner, how is that tenable in any way going forwards?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest failing of the EFL system that they have at the moment for owners and directors, is that it's the moment you come in, there is no reassessment at any point. There has to be a point in which you think, actually, this person should not be owning a football club. Absolutely no way. But I have to put out a warning that there is only 1 minute until we can save this podcast. Just 1 minute. So if we do actually finish up, then we'll be okay. Spoiler alert, actually, there is longer than a minute left.
Goodness me, the announcements yesterday were pathetic. Like, I'm not being
iconic funny. Moment, that.
You were going there for a minute, Paul. I was thinking. I thought that was an error with the software.
The first announcement when people were on the field was, if the fans don't leave the field, the game will get abandoned. And I thought, I mean, that's what they're on the field for. You're literally telling them to stay on the field there, pretty much. Like,
it's pathetic.
The logic of it made no sense, what the announcements were yesterday. And again, I mean, it kind of follows the pattern that we've seen all season with announcements when fans have been, you know, disrupting games and things. They're clueless. Like, they've got zero, they have not got their finger on the pulse at all when it comes to how to do these announcements. And it just winds fans up even further. Terrible. Whoever's in charge of writing them or speaking them, you need to be fired, for what it's worth. You're not helping.
Just think before you do a bloody announcement, for Christ's sake. It's just pathetic. I felt for
the person doing the early ones, though, because it was clearly somebody who was quite young. And when he was reading them out, he was like, yeah, don't do this, don't do this. Oh, I don't really care. But, like, you know, you could sense that.
No, definitely, definitely.
But let's look at this one here from Greg saying, just take a step back and realise this is Reading, not Millwall. Not Leeds, etc. No, we are Thug, Greg. Come on. We are a club that used to be sponsored by Waitrose, making all the noise. When we play Fulham, we call it El Middle Classico. My goodness.
Middle Classico.
Oh, butchered that one. We are this angry because we are terrified of losing our club. Help us. It is the situation. It is really sad. And the Port Vale fans also singing, get out of their club, you greedy bastard. I mean, it's such a weird day yesterday. And I don't know about you two and everyone else who's listening to that. Your brain afterwards is like, what the fuck's gone on there? You know, I agree with it all, but it's just such a weird day, wasn't it?
It's just a big cry for help, isn't it? As Greg says, you know, that is literally what it was. You know, a cry to anyone who's willing to listen, because, like, you know, previous protests have got, you know, okay coverage, good coverage, you know, have gone down well. But, you know, and it's kind of, I guess, you know, the main thing about yesterday, like, you know, with what happened, it was strange coming away from it, because it was literally like you couldn't keep up with Twitter. There was new posts every second, and like different news outlets were saying things, fan groups, etc., from different clubs. And people were finally, you know, talking about the real kind of plight of Reading FC, not just talking about, you know, tennis balls being thrown onto a pitch, or, you know, an Advan campaign, or, you know, whatever it's been, you know, people were actually talking, getting right to the crux of the issue yesterday. And I even had friends that literally messaged me in the afternoon saying, literally, Matt, what's going on with Reading FC? And it's like, well, have you not been watching for the last, you know, few years? Like, you know, what hasn't been happening with Reading FC? But it finally got that exposure yesterday, and like, it was a massive cry for help, you know. But I guess that was the biggest thing about yesterday. It was to get that coverage. It was to get that awareness. That's all you can really do with protests, right?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, I had friends messaging me from Germany saying, were you on the pitch, and what's going on here? It's kind of, you know, it's cut across everything, which is ultimately what you want to protest to do, isn't it? You want it to make headlines, and it has. What you don't want to be is actually reaching the point where that has to be needed, required, because we're just tired of it, aren't we? But we will keep going, Alex. Hopefully at some point there will be some resolution on this. We've no idea when that will be, but we just keep going with Sell Before We Die. And I've got to say, yesterday, I think one of the best things about it was just felt like it was completely fan-led. There was nothing kind of officially organised for that 16th minute. It was just, we're going to do it. This is what's happening. Everyone else is just going to have to deal with it, basically.
Fans took control, right? They knew, like, the fan base knew what they wanted to do, and they just did it. Which, like, ultimately, I think that's kind of what Sell Before We Die has been saying since the start is kind of like, well, there's no monopoly on it. If people want to protest, protest, because we, like, as a group, we can't control people. No one's there to say you should do this and you should do that. We can advise people and, like, you know, suggest what, like, the group wants to do. But if fans want to protest in a particular way, then they're going to do it. And yesterday was it, right? And it was completely, like, fan-led. All the tennis balls was fan-led. The pitch invasion on the 16th minute was fan-led. The abandonment, fan-led. Like, it just shows that, like, it's not one supporter group doing it, right? It's not Subway Die, it's not us, it's not Tarleton doing it. It's the fan base at this point, and the organic feelings of the fan base have basically just taken over at this point. And people are just kind of almost there for the ride, I guess, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. There's lots of transfer news and all that, but you can read about that on X, because I think we're basically going to wrap this podcast up now, because otherwise we can be going for ages here. So thanks a lot for listening. And we will be back at some point with a podcast. I don't know when. Oh, go on, Alex.
Just before we end, their goal was offside.
That's the big important one. News. There we go. There we go. Insightful as ever here on EPR.
Yeah, and there should have been two red cards given to Port Vale players, and we should have got the game given to us 3-0. So, yeah, that's bringing in the love, isn't it, from the Vale fans. Okay, then. Well, if you have enjoyed it, give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, and we will be back at some point, hopefully soon, talking about a new owner. No, I don't believe that's going to happen as well. But up the fucking game.